Hey everyone! Before we get started, I just want to let you know that your input can directly make our shows better. One of the biggest ways to support your favorite shows here is by rating and commenting on iTunes. All of our shows are available in Apple Podcast form on iTunes, and all you have to do is search for AfterBuzz and your favorite show title. Once you're there, leave the show a rating and a comment on why you like the show or any comments you have for the hosts. Thank you so much for listening, and we hope to continue to bring you the best shows we possibly can.
Hey guys, we're back to talk about the final six episodes of The Punisher, the second half of the season. Let's get into Netflix's foray into punishment.
You're tuning into the destination for TV superfan discussion, AfterBuzz TV. And now, let the buzz begin.
Hey guys, don't mind that opening. Let's move on past it. The engineers are like, yeah, we want to pretend that didn't happen. All right, guys, thank you so much for joining us. I'm your host, Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at @ZachWilson. I'm excited to dig into The Punisher. Unfortunately, April couldn't join us here tonight. But please send her your best wishes and everything on Twitter at April13Dawn. We've been scheduling the thing, and it's been hard to get in the studio for the Thanksgiving break. So we wanted to get to you guys as soon as we could. But reach out to her on Twitter. Nate Miller is here.
What's going on, Zach? Hey, everybody. Nate Miller here. You can find me on social media at @DogLikeNate. And we're here with the other Zach.
The other Zach. My name is also Zach. Zach Silverman.
Just we'll call you Silverman.
Just call Zach. Yeah, Zach, you guys can find me.
Call me Volleyball and Silverman.
Yeah. You guys can find me all across social media at Zach with a CH Silverman too. Let's get right into it, guys.
You want them? Let's dig into it.
Yeah, please.
All right. First reactions, guys. Like, this was probably the most intense Marvel show to date.
Hot take. It's the best one.
Whoa.
Really?
I think it's the best
that's
one.
That's a...
Okay.
All right. I think it's I'm going to ask you to defend TV that in a shows. Second.
Okay.
Defend.
Okay. I see what you did there.
Yeah.
Sorry. Don't worry. I'm going to punish you.
It sounded weird. Yeah. It sounded weird when you said it like
it's
that.
It's not good for puns.
All right,
it's
so not. that's your hot take. Zach, do you have a hot take?
I am like right up there with him. I don't. I haven't gotten to see the Defenders yet, but I already know that this is going to be just 10 times better.
Interesting.
I just, like, yeah.
For me, this was. I don't disagree that it was good. Mm-hmm. It wasn't I think part of it is it wasn't for me entirely. Like, it was good. I had a blast watching it. But it's so dark and in the mud. Mm-hmm. And that's a very specific type of show. Mm-hmm. And I think for what they wanted to do, clearly with this show, they achieved that.
Yeah, it's really slow, too. And that's the one thing I've had when I have conversations. I'm okay with it.
I've heard people say that about literally every single Netflix Marvel show, with the exception, I think, of Defenders, because it was a shorter show.
Yeah.
Every single and then Iron Fist is its own like beast of
right. Let me ask, what is wrong with that? Because we've seen shows like I was previously on Inhumans, and they only had 8 episodes. And let me tell you, like there's the commercial breaks with it as well. You see what happens when they don't take their time with things. Like, I'm fine with a show being slow. What happened to just like patience? You know.
Well, there's. I mean, look, I don't agree with the people that say these shows are slow. I don't like. I think they're very well paced. Even the ones that people are saying like it really got slow around here. Like, no, it didn't. Like,
it's perfect timing.
It's also the people that say that tend to be the people that did like one mega binge like day like the right away. Like, it came out and they watched it all at once
and they thought it was slow.
And well, exactly because they didn't get up and they were like, I just have to watch it. As opposed to like people who like you take your time, you watch it over a week or two, like. It doesn't feel slow. Like, when you watch a TV show, you watch one every week.
Every week, yeah.
And it doesn't feel slow because, like, you're watching it for an hour, and it like, feels like you're getting a lot of intense action, and then you're waiting. But if you do it all at once, you're like, yeah, it can move slow. Mm-hmm. But like, this show never felt slow to me.
Yeah.
like, that's the thing. It's not that it was, like, it was slow or that it was poor quality. It just, it was a very specific show that wasn't exactly for me. Like, my favorite show of all the Netflix shows so far is still Jessica Jones. End of the day, it's still Jessica Jones. That is the right tone for me. There's a lightness. While it's dealing with, like, ridiculously heavy issues and, like, cool, like, big stuff, it still has that lighter tone around it to, like, fill in the gaps here and, like, give you more reprieve.
Mm-hmm. Right.
This show, for better or worse, does not have lighter moments.
Mm-hmm.
It has,
they try
like,
to.
It has heartfelt moments, but not lighter moments. How do you guys feel about that? Do you agree? Disagree?
I think you're right. I think, and that's why I have my hot take, because I think if you took out the Punisher name and any references to Marvel stuff, it would still be a really good show. It's a great character study about this guy who's scarred and trying to recover, you know, with the things he's dealt with. And then also the other characters. Madani, I think, is a really good female police character who's, you know, dealing with being discriminated against because of her race.
Yeah, yeah,
and multiple facets.
Yeah.
You look at, like, Curtis and the plotline with Lewis, I thought was really good, too. And then the dynamic between Micro and Frank. And, like, this is one of my favorite... This is my favorite depiction of Frank on screen, because of, you see, like, his wife and his kids dying aren't just a reason for him to be angry and kill these bad guys.
Yeah.
It's like it's an everyday thing for him. He relives it every day.
You know,
you see him go through
it.
We
wouldn't have gotten any of that also if they didn't take their time with these types of things.
Yep.
Like, if we had a Punisher that was just like, oh, I'm angry and you remember the time my family got killed, that's why I'm killing these people. Like, I wouldn't care to watch him.
Right.
You know, like, the fact that we see him with the hammer in the first, you know, few episodes smashing that wall, and it's just like, my God, the things that you're dealing with. And then we see the group, the therapy group, and he can't even go to the therapy group. He has to sit on the outside and wait. It is a constant thing. And that dream that he keeps having that's ever evolving, where he feels guilty for even him killing his family, like, that makes me care.
And even, like, the first few times I saw the dream, I was kind of like, all right, again, we're going to do this again. But then, like...
But they changed
it. Yeah, there's a little more each time.
And I was, like, happy that with that. Yeah.
And then you see it, like, really affect him. It's not just like, oh, flashback, remember, this happened. It was like, flashback. And then you see him move throughout the day. It's like, yeah, he had a shitty night. He dreamed of killing his kids. Like, it's... Wow.
Yeah, that's tough.
It's an intense thing to watch. Let alone, I imagine, go through.
Mm-hmm.
But that's like, so, like, with Frank's plot line, like, was this, like, so you were saying, like, this was the best Punisher so far. Was this what you expected to get going into the show?
Yeah, I had a feeling with the Daredevil season 2 that we were going to get more of a emotionally driven Punisher story than just the what we've gotten before. Even just looking at the way they handled Daredevil so far, and like Jessica Jones, you know, you look at Jessica Jones, what made it so good was the realism and human emotions and stuff that she dealt with. It translates perfectly with Punisher. It's just darker.
Yeah.
A lot darker and violenter. So,
well, it's based violent. In the difference was this. Of any Marvel show or property on screen so far, this was the one that, like, you could have almost, if not for the two episodes where he was wearing the skull on his armor, this might as well have not been, it could have not been
it's not like a Marvel show.
They never said, like, other than, like, a reference that didn't even, like, call out a specific superhero, just said the word superhero. There was no reference to any of that, any supernatural things. They never made an offhand reference to Daredevil. The most we saw was like a Battle of New York thing in the background of Karen Page's office.
Yeah,
that was it.
Yeah, I thought it was great.
Which is, like, it's cool in an element. I know that some people I saw in the chat were like a little like this is barely a Marvel show. It didn't even, like, reference the MCU. Well, it didn't have to, because that's not Frank's life.
Yeah, not at all.
Although, like, if they're going to do more of Punisher, I kind of want to see him interact with other people.
I would like to see a Punisher War Crimes where, like, they're trying to catch him and he's, like, on the run. That would
like,
be...
And I know
I don't
we're
know
not
if that would ever happen, but...
Yeah, I know we're not going to, like, get that, but, like... like in the Civil War comic book, like the interaction between Frank Castle and Captain America is one of my favorite Punisher moments because it's so fascinating to see him come butt up against the extremes of superheroes when this is a guy who lives in this dark, gritty, grounded world. They don't go together, and that's why I think this show just sort of had to ignore all of it.
Yeah, I've been describing it to people like don't even watch it from the scope of it being like a comic book show. It's a crime revenge drama. Like it's barely a comic book show.
Yeah. That's the thing. It is a comic book show, but comic books are not just superheroes.
Like, right.
That's
what everyone is. But comic book show has a genre connotation to it, just like comic book movie used to up until the last few years, where now you can have a comic book movie that fits into different subgenres within there.
Yeah.
It's not just one gimmicky, tropey movie.
And that's sort of what's great is like the Marvel like slate is set now so diverse. It might as well just be a network slate. It's like it just happens to all come from the same comic book universe. But between this, like Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D., like off in space, and then like Runaways hitting like the teen vibe, Cloak and Dagger is going to come in soon with that kind of thing. New Warriors is going to be like this comedy ridiculousness of Squirrel Girl. Like they have it all across the board. So Punisher is the darkest version of that universe. And it's intense. Yeah. But what did you guys? So let's get back to the actual show. What did you guys think of the way that Castle's story like resolved?
I was okay. I know there was a way I didn't want it to go, and thankfully it didn't go that way.
Which part are you talking about? Like with Billy with like Rollins?
I guess with everything, with Billy and Rollins. I didn't want to see Billy die. Like that is a battle that needs to continue almost. And with Rollins, I was hoping it would be bloody, gory, and just disgust. Like just he needs to get what was coming to him. But at the same time, I also didn't want Frank to just, you know, run away and like be on the run. And they tied it all up in a nice, neat way. He saved Madonna a few times, and going up to what was it, the senator that Rollins was working with? Is that who she was? The woman that the CIA.
No, she was.
What was her position? I forgot.
I thought she was the head of the CIA.
I think, she became the head of the CIA, and she was non-political. That's what it was. Yeah, and I'm happy that like she was able to recognize where her everyone beneath her like just messed up, and she's like, we can't help you. Like, we can't give back your family. We can't give back the time that we took away from you. So you get a free pass. I'm like, I don't know. I was happy with that. Tell me you had something to say to this.
I mean, I feel like that was just very true to form to that CIA character of like, yes, she was ignorant to what Rollins was doing, but like, I don't think she's innocent at all.
She's not at all.
Yeah. So
one of my predictions was I hope like he comes after her as well.
Yeah.
I hope if there is another season that like something will come about where he does have to. I mean,
I don't think so. I have a theory about what might come if they do another season. But as far as that goes,
we'll get to that. Hold on.
I really liked the dynamic with Rollins.
Okay.
And just that scene where he's like you know, if this pulls back shit on my shoes, it gets on you too. You know, like that whole thing of that culpability within government, and like I love this in like government corruption plot lines because that's how it happens. It's not like everybody's not dirty, but all it takes is one person to be like, and all right, let's just go on the side. Yeah, yeah. And exactly. Then, but if I go down now, everybody goes down with me. So now all of a sudden everybody is responsible for trying to clean up this guy's mess. I just think they played it really
Then he even went behind Russo's back. And I was just like, oh, we'll just blame it all on him. This isn't going to get on us.
And when he was, oh, man. Tearing at Billy, like calling him a dog. And like,
oh, my God.
Oh, man.
I was just like, are you asking to die?
There's two of these men that are just like trained in so many different ways. And he's just the guy who's like,
it's the power trip. Yeah. It's the power trip. He thinks he's untouchable.
He really does.
You imagine being in a room with like those two guys who have killed that many people and you're treating them like dog crap. Like all that went to his head.
Yeah.
That was an intense scene. The Rollins whole like sequence of building up to his death was very intense. I mean, as soon as Castle's like getting into the computer, I'm just like, how do you think this is going to go well for you? Like, you're dealing with a top of the line hacker.
Yeah.
And like, there's going to be a trap when you sign in. It's too easy.
Yeah, way too easy.
You use the right eye instead of the left eye and it blows up. Like, there's so many ways. Have you never watched a spy show or a movie, guys? Come on. You have two passwords and one of them triggers like some crazy stuff.
Yeah.
And that's what happened. And it worked out for everybody.
I was a little nervous during that scene. I know they weren't going to end it like right there with that, but I really could not figure out how he was going to get out of that chair and what was going to happen. Like, how I knew Rollins had to die and that the Punisher was going to do it. I couldn't see it. That which makes, is great.
That makes me
know?
Think about the Lieberman thing when they do the trade and he gets shot.
He gets shot, yeah.
And I'm like,
yeah.
Did they just kill him? It was almost, in front of his kids.
And his wife. Again? The only thought that was going through my head was like, oh my god, his wife is going to be traumatized because she's like,
she was messed up before.
She saw the first time when he got shot, and he just fell into the water, and like now,
And then they see him come out of the body bag. That part was a little.
And he was
much,
all
I
bloody
think.
And everything.
Could have gone into a separate room first.
Yeah, I had to assume. Well, the kids and wife didn't see him. Yeah, no, they were in the room with the body bag.
Yeah,
no, the next room over.
He got out, and they were like, "You should probably clean up."
Oh, he's like, "Oh, let me see
him."
Yeah, you're right. Okay.
That would have been real messed up. Although you would think that they would have like. I guess maybe they did tell them,
I think he's fine. Yeah.
Like,
I don't think
like
they did.
I think they did,
because
like
she comes in and is like, she's not like, oh my god, you're alive. Yeah. She's just like pissed off at him.
Yeah.
That's the feeling I got. Because she would have been like, holy, again?
Well, Sarah had her own interesting arc here. Well, let's get into the Liebermans in a bit.
Okay.
We're still talking about Frank. Because Frank, through all of this, he's still looking for his revenge.
Yeah.
And, like, so he gets Rollins, who's, like, the top guy.
He's the guy that
he gets
gave
his
all the
revenge
commands.
There. Yeah. And then he's cleaning up after a betrayal with Russo.
Yep.
Well, I think there's also something deeper, too, right? Because we see all those scenes with Frank in his head, with his wife, while he's being tortured and stuff. And so I think on the surface, it's him carrying out his revenge and finishing the plan and stuff. But on the inside, and part of the reason why I love that episode, is it reveals what he's been struggling with the whole time. It's not just that they're gone and that he's having trouble adjusting. It's that he has to make the decision that he's been struggling with ever since when he came back, and he was like, all right, I'm gonna give it up. You know, when she said like, oh, are you really home? Because he's been struggling when he comes home with really adjusting, because
he
just like
said
he says
himself, that he sometimes he feels bad because he'd rather be out in the field with his men,
and that's the real reveal, that the whole it's he's,
it did that beautifully,
he's,
by the
yeah,
way, like,
and
it
so
was a teetering on, like, yeah. It was teetering on like, do you want to die, and just like, like, I'm
let it
happy.
Go. That's
just
right.
Let it go. Like, when you let it go, this is it. Like, you're calling the world quits.
But I think that's important. That he makes the decision to not give up. He makes the decision to stay.
Yeah.
And he says like, no, this is what I am now. Right. Yeah. So he's fully.
There's no peace for him.
Punishered up now, and he's accepted that. Which is, there's kind of a peace in it. I think a peace in. I think it's like a self-punishment kind of a thing. We're like, all right, well,
like,
I'm
finally okay with, like, okay, I'm used to this.
Yeah,
and
this is the way I atone for what happened and my responsibility in it.
Yeah.
So, because, I mean, ultimately, it is, I mean, it's not his fault, but he did pull the trigger that pulled the whole thing down.
Yeah, seriously.
Was anyone else not surprised when he, like, they played that like it was a huge reveal that he pulled the trigger?
I thought it may have been Billy.
Really?
I thought it could have been
Billy. I actually was surprised that it was a reveal, because I just thought it was Frank.
I knew it was Frank right away.
I had accepted in my head that it was Frank.
Yeah.
Even the way that they played it. I mean, like, look at what they did. There's no reason why they had in his dream for him to be wearing like the same garb
the
and the mask and everything.
I didn't even think about that.
Yeah, I mean,
that's actually
the second I saw that dream, and then I saw they showed the video, I was like, oh, so Frank killed the guy. They're, like, I'm like, when I was waiting, I was like, when is McDonaghy going to find out? Like, there's going to be something for her to, like, hate him again and, like, not want to, like, forgive him or help him or move along. Because they were coming together where they're like, hey, we both want the same thing. Let's do this. And I thought that was going to trip it up a little bit. But, I mean, the reveal was a little bit later and it's like, whatever, you know.
Yeah. I mean, I for me, I didn't even think of it as a conspiracy. I think I was just like, I assumed too much. So when they reveal, it's like, yeah, I thought that was what it was. And yeah. I was just like reading into more information.
Because who else could have been? You know, it wouldn't have been that other guy who was filming.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it could have been Russo. It could have been a random. It could have been irrelevant. Just like that they were all there.
Yeah.
Man, and that finale with Russo.
The big battle scene.
Yeah.
That was...
There's so much going on
there.
We got both of their, like, tactical skills, like, at the heightened points, I guess.
That was the thing. With these guys, like, they...
You can't go on guns blazing.
You know? Well, that's also not their... This is a tactical fight between the two of them, which is not just going to be a, like, shoot-off. It's not just going to be...
Okay, you know what
we drop right, our on guns three. And, yeah. like, we're going to settle this with our fists.
Fist cuffs. There's one thing I didn't like about that whole scene, though. It was when they were both on the, what's it called? The carousel. On the carousel, and, I don't know. I feel like the carousel, the center isn't big enough for them. Like they could, I feel like they would be able to see each other. You know, they played it as if they were going around and they were like missing each other, like going around in the circle.
Did
you
not see
that? Is it that big?
It's pretty big. It's when you're. It looks smaller when you're looking at it.
Yeah.
When you get on the carousel, it's pretty big. Because you got to think about how wide it is, right? There's like three or four or five horses or whatever. Yeah. Plus, it's got to go all the way around, and you got the lights going on, and the kids screaming and stuff, and, you know, your wife and kids were killed there right the last there. Time you were there, which you have traumatic nightmares about all the time.
Yeah,
may have been a little distracted.
Everything else was great, though. How it all played out was
It was just, gruesome. It's one of those things, like, I mean,
just like,
I hate to be that guy.
I hear that in my head right now.
I watch a lot of dark stuff and violent stuff, but when you get there and it's like, and it's justified, like, you're like, yeah, fuck that guy. He deserves that. Like, that's a good feeling. That's a good storytelling because otherwise, like, if you watch it without context, it's just like, what are you doing? Stop that. Don't do that.
I mean,
I
wasn't like, stop that because, like, he did deserve, but I also wasn't like, yeah, keep going.
I was like, stop, please. It's enough. I get it. Please. But you know what? It was so appropriate because of everything that Russo represented. I mean, the fact that, you know, he fucking did that thing with the glass and he's like, you are nothing but cars, women, and clothes or something like that. And, oh, man, he took that away from me. That was the only thing he could do. And he I'm glad he did it. But
yeah, I think it shows some growth in him too. He's
That he didn't
just kill him. Yeah, but I think also just that he was thinking about it more. But I think he was just really hurt because, like, especially that last flashback that they show at the end, where it's where they're there and Billy's with them.
Yeah,
it's like, bruh.
The last time they were at this one spot together,
dude.
Totally different world. But Billy in, like, so this is how Billy turns into Jigsaw. Because if you guys aren't familiar with Jigsaw from the comics, he has a mangled face in, like, pretty much any iteration of that character. And so this is as much as this was, like, a big arc for this character, this was just the prelude for Billy Russo's
this
character.
This was his origin story.
This is how he becomes the supervillain.
That is so cool.
Which is crazy.
I would love to see him in another season.
I like the way that they did his character, too, because Jigsaw originally is not that involved with Frank and is not, like, the Anvil stuff doesn't exist. And so the way
Anvil is a separate thing.
Yeah, the way that they worked it together, I think, worked really well, especially with them updating the soldier stuff and, like, them having him being in charge of that private military thing. It just worked out perfectly for the service story and the character.
Regardless of whatever's from the comics, his role just worked in tandem with everything else that was going on in the show. It was a show about the military, like whether it succeeded in telling a veteran's, like an honest veteran's story. I can't be the one to tell you that because I don't have that experience. I would love to know. I've actually heard mixed opinions. Things. Mixed might be favorable. I've heard negative things from mostly secondhand, admittedly, but from veterans who did not love the show. Hmm. But I can't speak on their behalf.
Right.
And I think there are people who there are veterans who like the show, but that's to me where it lives or dies. Is like if the people that this show is most for don't like it, the show failed, regardless of what other viewers. This because of what the show chose to be.
Well, I don't know if it's for veterans. I think if anything, it's for non-vets. For people like us to get some type of an idea, because there's
but what I mean is not like, oh, it's for them to enjoy, but if they don't like it, like they don't think it's honest,
they don't think it's a good
then it fails, regardless of how much people and civilian people might have enjoyed it.
Yeah,
to me, it lives or dies in that vein. Okay. And I'd be interested to hear if there are any veterans who are listening to this. Like, I would love to know, like, tweet at us, put it in the comments. Like, I would love to know your thoughts on this as people who. Hopefully, I've not experienced this
that extensive,
whatever real world close or like equivalent there might be. But let's get into some of the other side characters, like David Lieberman. A lot of people feel like he was like I've heard him referred to as like the heart of the show. Do you guys agree with that assessment?
Heart in a sense of like a guiding light to Frank to be like, hey, you can't be doing these types of things. Or like, I mean, he kind of balanced Frank out. I feel like if he wasn't part of this, he
like
would
an
have
emotional,
Russo.
An emotional heart. Like he provided like a humanity that Frank had to live with, and not just with David, but like the whole Lieberman family sort of forced him to reevaluate from just blind rage and violence to. To reminding himself why he's in this scenario. It couldn't have been more direct, like reminding him of what he'd lost. Because it was a family that had lost their father.
Exactly.
And it was a son and a daughter.
A daughter, yeah.
Same scenario. The wives even, like, vaguely looked like each other.
Yeah, there was that little, that little dream sequence where they all had Thanksgiving dinner together, and I was like, oh, wait a second. No, that's Sarah, not his wife. It was mistaken, the two.
Although fans of AfterBuzz, I don't know about you guys. I couldn't get past the fact that I thought Sarah looked just like Amber Plaster, one of our hosts here, if she was blonde. It was – I couldn't unsee it.
I see the resemblance, but I haven't seen Amber blonde, so I don't
– Yeah. I don't know.
Interesting.
It was the eyebrows. Anyway. No, it was just like, because it was one of those things like, where have I seen, like, you look so familiar. I was like, oh, you look like somebody I know.
Yeah, you've also seen her in a bunch of movies.
She's been in Grimm, like, she's a character on Grimm, like, a number of things. But yeah, anyway. What did you guys think of her when she made a move on Frank?
I saw it coming.
I mean, that was one of my predictions. I was, like, hoping that would, every time they got together, I was like, so when are they going to kiss? Like the tension between the two.
All that wine.
So much rosé.
And he liked it.
This pink shit is good.
I'm going to have to pick up one of these for myself.
If I could go back in time and tell myself as a child reading Punisher comics that there's going to be a Punisher TV show where he drinks rosé and goes, this pink shit's good. Like, no.
Never believe that.
Huh? No. But it worked.
It worked. But you're so right. Like, can you imagine telling...
Out of context, it's like, what?
Or just even, like, any, like, of the bros were like, yeah, Punisher. It's like, he's going to have a quiet scene.
Remember that time when Frank was like, man, this rosé is so good.
That was after he brought flowers, too, right?
Yeah, which, like, that's all he could really do. Like, to his point where David's like, you brought her flowers! He's like... You told me to go at this random time where I like just skipped dinner and then got yelled at. Like, I need context here.
Exactly, yeah.
Otherwise, I'm just a creepy dude
showing up out of nowhere.
Mixed signals. The only thing that could have made that better is if like the son walked in like right when that happened.
Oh my god, that would have been horrible.
So, like, mom,
that kid's gonna be You watch season two. He's gonna be the villain.
He was a little dick.
He was acting out just because of the loss.
That was a great scene between.
That's
again what you're talking about with like this family is a reminder of what his humanity was, because his first instinct was he got the knife out and put it to his throat. He's like, is this what you want to do? Is this what? And then you realize, like, you know, do you remember the scene I'm talking about?
Yeah, no, okay. I know exactly.
Yeah, okay. You're giving me this look like, wait, what?
No, I'm remembering it. It's like intense.
And it's like, that's the Frank on the battlefield. And it's just like, no, dude, like, you once had a family. This is not appropriate of like trying to help a child out.
Come that dumbass kid shouldn't be playing with that big knife.
He should be playing with that knife, but don't put it to his throat.
He's got excellent knife control.
I'm not doubting his knife
with that.
Control.
But I think...
He was locked into one set of minds.
Yes. Yeah, but it was the right response for a different scenario. What he saw, what the evidence said to Frank, was that this kid wants to hurt somebody and is not old enough or not... just like hasn't experienced enough to know what it is to hurt someone with a knife like that.
Exactly,
yeah. And to feel what it's like to have a knife against your throat, like feeling that fear was supposed to remind him that like somebody else will feel this fear when you hold a knife to right. them. So don't do it.
I feel like,
but it turned out like what he was doing was not that he wasn't threatening anyone. He was
he wanted to use it on himself. I think he said,
I don't think he said he wanted to hurt himself.
He
said
he wasn't happy. He has no friends. His life, his family is broken. And I thought he did.
Because didn't he say, wasn't he going like, do it?
Yeah.
He's like,
he
do
wanted.
It.
He's
like,
yeah. Oh, God. That's right.
Excuse me.
He did say that. Now, I think I blocked it. I think I blocked it out of my brain.
It got pretty dark really quick.
This whole show has been super dark.
I was like,
what?
Yeah, teach that kid that annoying ass kid a lesson. He started, just do it. I was like, oh, crap.
You're just like, oh, no.
Poor boy. But I mean, Frank changes too. He quickly figures out.
He's
like, oh,
he's like,
whoops.
Yeah. I like that though. That scene was appropriate to why this family has been in this show this entire time. We needed that Frank ground. I mean, just the Daredevil season two. He was just a madman in that show and just like reckless. And now he's getting scaled back and more of his humanity as much as it can is coming back. I wasn't happy that he didn't come in for the dinner at the end, because he's kind of going back down the dark road of like, no, I'm going to be a loner. But I guess, you know.
You've got to have a season two.
Got to have a season two.
I mean, that's the interesting thing, like where we are now with Frank.
I think he's going to go back to that wall with the hammer. He's just going
to... I don't know what's going to
happen. He's dealt with his stuff. Like, for me, I think Frank... Let's just get into what we think Frank's going to do, and then we'll go back and talk about the other
characters. I don't think he has dealt with this stuff. Yes, he dealt with the physical aspects
of things. I think he's dealt with most of it. I think if there is going to be a season two, it has to... Because the problem is, like, the reason that this season worked is that it didn't do the classic Punisher story where he's just going after random criminals because, like, he is sad and he wants to kill... the people that are bad. That doesn't work. That is not a story I have any interest in watching. And I don't think it's a story that these showrunners want to tell from what I saw in this show. So something is going to have to happen when they get into what Castle does, like what would draw him back into being the Punisher. Cause right now I think he's kind of done with it. He got what he needed to do, the people he needed to get. He's got a clean slate. He's just out there as Pete Castiglione. I keep wanting to say like Castellano, but I know that's not it. That's just a funnier name. I think he wants to stop. I don't think he wants to be the Punisher anymore.
I think that's all he knows, though.
Yeah, I think in the beginning of the series he wanted to stop, and I think by the end I think he realized that he can't stop. That this is what he is.
That's what that whole scene was when he was getting tortured.
Yeah, I think that's...
he let go of his family. Like, I guarantee you, if there's a season two, he's not going to have flashbacks. And
yeah,
could be like a writer's thing.
Well,
he let go
of this injustice, but I think he would have to. There would have to be another injustice.
Yeah.
For him to.
I don't know. I think with the right
triggers.
I think either like Micro comes to him and says, like, hey, we have more work to do. Or, like, Madani comes to him and says, like, hey, there's, like, this super other corrupt thing I found out about. And
if,
like,
he's working with the government, I could see that. That angle I see. I just don't see him as a loner going after criminals.
But it wouldn't be with the government. It would be like, oh, I can't tell you. I can't tell them that I gave you this information or whatever. But
I think it's as a like a tool, like whether it's as a tool of the of Homeland Security or whatever it is. I just as opposed to
him just going at random.
I'm opposite. Yeah. I just want him and Micro. And like,
it's a great duo.
Just hey, that. What are we doing this week? Like, obviously not that procedural, but I think that's all they need. That, and like, you have the Jigsaw subplot going on.
Well, see, that would be that would be the reason for all this, because his work isn't technically done. He didn't kill him. He might be at peace with, like, hey, you know, you my life is messed up, and now yours is messed up. But there could be that duo that just keeps going back and forth.
We know that Billy's not gonna like. Never awake from his coma. Yeah. And if he does, be like, oh, all right, I guess we're even now, buddy. Like, oh, he's going to try to kill him too or try to do something.
Jigsaw
or come
dragging
after
him.
Micro, maybe, and, you know, actually kill his family this time.
I could see a version where it's like Jigsaw, but like sort of like Riddler-esque. Like,
that'd be kind
of
cool.
Where he is basically just going after Frank, like forcing him into the. I think Frank is he's gonna go to a spa.
Yeah, I think he's in a good spot right now. Yeah, I mean, if they don't do another one, it's not the end of the world.
I'd be happy with the way this.
Yeah, but I would like to. I don't know. I just like the idea of my Marvel universe having Frank Castle just around killing bad guys, so that. In the one random Marvel movie 10 years from now, we can just get a random cameo where he's like in the back shooting someone for like 10 seconds.
Yeah. All right.
That's all I want.
Well, let's talk through some of the other characters that were in this.
Curtis didn't die.
Curtis made it. Just barely.
Just barely.
He kept... being on the brink of it.
Death. Yeah, got beat with his own
the whole
foot.
Plot line with Lewis.
Kill me with my own gun.
Forget your own gun. Can't beat you with his own leg.
Yeah.
Or with your own leg. Oof.
That was kind of. It was sad. The whole plot line was. I felt bad for Lewis. I mean, at first
I felt bad for him, but it went so far.
He did go off the deep end.
It was so far removed from, like, oh, this guy was disturbed and committed a murder.
And he got so,
like,
many chances, too, for help. Like,
yeah.
Curtis kept trying to help him. His dad kept trying to help him. Like,
yeah.
Like, this kid, whatever the cause was, if he was broken, if the being in the military left him with, like, unrecoverable PTSD, whatever.
Right.
The kid now is a psychopath.
Right.
But here's the thing, I stopped sympathizing the moment the bomb went off.
Okay.
Maybe that's just coming from New York and from Boston. I lost any sympathy for the character.
I guess maybe sympathy is the wrong word. I was at peace with, I mean, there was that like a quiet moment between him and Frank was just like, just do it. And he wasn't like telling him to like pull the, like, you know, release the trigger because he, like, hates the kid and wants him to die. Like, he sees the pain that he's in as well. He's like, I can never do that to myself, but, like, I get what you're going through. Like, this is your out. That's how you get out of this. Like, there will be no peace for you outside of killing yourself, unfortunately. And I honestly, you know, the writers, I think, did all those moments, giving, like, Curtis and his dad and all those things. I think that was, like, a safety for the writers so that it wasn't, like, attacking veterans and like, a stigma with, like, gun control. There's so many hot topics on this in this series. I think it was more of a writer's thing covering their butt of being, like, you know, this is maybe how life is for a lot of people. I don't know. I'm not a veteran, so I can't really say. But I would think, you know, like, my family would be there. There would be other people there trying to help as much as possible, you know?
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Black Magic 99, the chat is asking, they said, I don't understand what Lewis was fighting for. Did I miss something?
That was the only thing that was lost.
Want. It was a little vague. Yeah. It was, he was,
No, it was and a maybe very that, dumbed down version of what Franks was. Like, he understood that the government is corrupt and that, like, what he served for wasn't it didn't, like, he served for a reason that wasn't what he was told. And it was kind of, like, turned around on him. But it wasn't as deep as, like, what Frank went through.
Well, I think he also felt, after, I think the problem is, like, Billy's speech was a little too good to, like, convince them, to convince them to sign up. And so since, yeah, like, if you sign up, it's like, all right, fine, whatever, it's in the past, I'm doing this now. But if you sign, you hear the speech and then you don't get the job, then you're like, well, they did just fuck me. They did invest in me and not... You know, like all of a sudden, all this stuff sounds really good and true.
That's fair.
That's the big turning point. That's when he's like,
the camel's back. Yeah.
That's when he's like,
I hadn't even thought about that, but that's a really good point. It's all on you, Billy.
Yeah. I mean, that could have been it for his storyline. You know, he could have been like a saved man there. He would have purpose.
Well, he would have been one of the dregs that like gets
Frank
sent in to commit like,
fine, you know?
Commit like heinous acts of terrorism through a company perspective instead of just. On his own.
Yeah. Didn't think about that way either.
But we do, like, Lewis's storyline I thought was interesting at the very least.
Yeah.
It was driven, like, I just because I didn't have sympathy for the character at the end doesn't mean that his plotline was bad or wrong or not.
This,
like,
show had the most plot lines where I, like, cared for all, like, I was
the
like,
side
I,
ones
like
actually
I like,
cared.
I like, I was like, wait, why aren't we getting this today? I want to, like, I want more of what was going on with this one.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah, the white wire thing was really good, too. I like that a lot.
The wire thing?
Yeah, wire.
Where, like, he knew to pull the white wire because of the bomb before.
Yeah. It was a well-planted story point.
Yeah. Karen wasn't just a random, hey, we need a news reporter to just fill in for these two episodes.
Karen had a perspective and affected things. Like, did you guys...
Although, I do have to say, you know what? I just remembered, I didn't like the way they did that episode.
The cameo with the cop?
No, I like that.
When Brett showed up?
The explosion, that episode in the hotel room, how like they show what happened and then we'll go backwards and then go forward. And then
different
perspectives.
I like what they were going for, but I didn't.
It's an
like
overused plot device at this
and
point.
And I don't think it was... we know that Frank didn't go in there with him and like...
Yeah, that was the only thing. It's like if you're gonna present us with a false version of it,
it's gotta be something
then like
believable.
Yeah, then there should have been. If you're gonna do that, then there also should have been something in Karen's story that was false. But nothing, as far as we're concerned, Karen's recollection of the events was the true one. So we just watched a fake one for no reason.
Yep. Yeah,
I agree with you on that one. But I did like Karen in that scene. Like, do you guys feel like she is really seeking justice, or is she just chasing the thrill of like cracking a story?
Oh, that plays to her character.
That's
because she's like Karen Page in the comics is a former drug addict. I think they've hinted at that in the show. They haven't been as
really.
Well,
where?
They talk about her past a lot in Daredevil without going into specifics and that like she had a rough past that like left that like she crawled through some really dark places.
Interesting.
They've never said what that is explicitly, but knowing what her comic book origin stories are, it's sort of like implied that she went through some stuff like that. But if the character has dealt with addiction, like that thrill of like putting herself in danger, because she seems to do it intentionally at a certain point.
Yeah,
especially when Frank's around.
I think part of it is her, you know, being a strong, powerful willed woman, not wanting to back down from a threat, I think. So like, and then also I think her conviction of not wanting to be associated with that guy. Because remember, at first he was trying to say, "Oh, you know what I'm talking about. You believe me. You're just like me." And she's like, "Wait a minute, that's crazy."
Yeah, there's it feels different. Like the two main women, like two of the main women on the show, other than Sarah, it would like Karen and Madani. Madani never felt like she was like thrill seeking.
Yeah,
she had a definite
for the car scene. The chicken, that was the only time.
Fair enough. But that was more like... But I mean, that never felt like she was chasing the thrill. That was like, I want to be the one to catch him. Whereas Karen, okay, like, there's a certain amount of, she's putting herself, she's a reporter, and she's putting herself in harm's way.
She went for a purse and, like, was like, I'm going to take out this gun and shoot it. And she was like, oh, shoot, they took my gun. You know, like, she was, yeah, I can... I think she's a bit of an attention
That
seeker.
Said, like, I think Deborah Ann Woll did a wonderful job. She always does as Karen. She's, like, played the part across a few seasons of Daredevil and now in Punisher.
Yeah.
What did you guys think of that moment where they, like, it felt like they were clearly, like, about to kiss, and then they just, like, butted foreheads? They did, like, the forehead, like...
Was this after the bomb?
Connection. Yeah, when they were in the elevator. Like, they leaned in and they, like, touched foreheads, like, sensually, and then, like, which is...
I kind of took it as, like, we just got through another, like, near-death experience.
There's we had to pretend, like, you were taking me hostage when we both know you're not.
Yeah, yeah. There was a bomb. I don't know. I think there's just, like, this... I feel like there is something between the two of them, I think. I would have liked to see them kiss.
I don't think I didn't want to see them kiss. Like, I don't think it's good for either... Maybe it's good for Frank. It's not good for Frank.
That's the only reason. That's the only reason why. Why isn't it good for? Because him being the Punisher.
First of all, he's not in a place to have a relationship at all. If we're really gonna go there,
I'm just thinking like this would be like healing for like what happened with your family.
No.
Okay.
He's not. Okay. He's not even. You could. Frank is basically celibate.
Oh, he's not. Yeah, I know that. I mean, trust me. I would like for him to get some. I know it's not happening.
Yeah, no.
I get it. Yeah. Okay. Yeah.
All right. We're running low on time. We've already talked about like our predictions for season two because we went way out of order here.
Sorry.
Before we wrap out, like, do you guys have any favorite like moments? Like, I'll give you a second to think about it. Stuff we didn't get to talk about, and obviously we weren't going to be able to talk about every moment, every good moment, every like crazy moment on the show. The one moment we didn't get to talk about that I feel needs to be mentioned is when Frank and Micro were drinking together and having their boys' night. And he's like, I'm holy like Moose. Like, he's already seen you naked. He tied you up.
Yeah.
You don't got to pull down your pants, dude. But that was like a really great moment.
That was really
good. That was a nice bonding
moment. There's a lot of consistent, just great moments of like
character building
between them.
Seriously.
Yeah.
That was probably my favorite part of the show. Because it went through such a great arc of maybe this guy's the bad guy. Like, yeah.
I just think the, like, I don't have a specific part, but just overall, the shooting and the action scenes are just top notch. The realism is just incredible. Like, the scene when they're coming in, when Billy's team comes in and they have that fight with Homeland Security, the way the teams move and they're positioned and like, how they shoot and stuff, like, oh, man. It's so good.
Orlstein.
I know. Yeah. And then he goes and then he washes the blood off of her from the guy that he killed.
It's real messed up. It's real messed up. All right. Running low on time. Silverman, any other favorite moments you want to drop?
No, I mean, I love the show overall. I can't. Yeah, there's plenty of moments, but you know, enough time.
Yeah. If you guys had, you guys listening or watching at home, had a favorite moment that we didn't get to because obviously we were covering a lot of stuff in a short amount of time. Please drop it in the comments below or shoot us a message on Twitter. We'd love to keep talking with you about Punisher and all things Marvel. As the off season, keep chatting with us. Where you can find us, I'm Zach Wilson. You can find me on Twitter and Instagram at that Zach Wilson, thatzachwilson. And also be sure to check out the AfterBuzz TV Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. after show, which is now on Sunday nights, or Sunday evenings, I guess I should say, at 5 p.m. We just did talked about the premiere. The whole team's back. Me, Megan Salinas, Jesse Klein, and Teron. I'm not going to try. Dug into this into the premiere of the fifth season of Agents of S.H.I.E.L.D. and we will be back every week talking about that for all your Marvel needs. Put yourselves over, guys. Where can we find you?
Hey guys, Nate Miller here. You can find me on all social medias at Dog Like Nate. That's dog with two G's. And I also host a weekly gaming talk show here on our Popcorn Talk Network called Inventory Full. So check us out here. You can check us out on Twitch. We'll see you guys there.
And I'm the other Zach Silverman. You can find me all across social media at Zach with a CH Silverman 2.
All right, guys. This has been the Punisher After Show. Thanks for geeking out with us.
From executive producers Maria Menounos, Kevin Undergaro, Phil Svitek, and the entire AfterBuzz TV staff, we would like to thank you for listening to the AfterBuzz TV Network. To watch or listen to other after shows and post comments or questions, be sure to visit AfterBuzzTV.com. I'm Sir Richard Wentworth, and this has been a presentation of AfterBuzz TV.
Buzz you later.
The views expressed herein are those of the hosts only and do not necessarily reflect the views of AfterBuzz TV or its owners or principals.